Hello and welcome to the More Life podcast. I'm Dr. Sophie Edwards, Clinical Lead for More Life. I'm a health psychologist specialising in disordered eating and behaviour change. I'm passionate about exploring the link between psychological and physical health and believe that you can't have one without the other. Join me and my colleagues as we explore topics related to health and well-being. Today I'm joined by Dr. Nisha Patel and we'll be talking about habits. Nisha is also a health psychologist and is clinical lead for our Greater Manchester services. She qualified in 2014 and has worked in weight management for 4 years. Nisha also has a special interest in diabetes management, which was the focus of her PhD that she completed with the University of Manchester 6 years ago. She has a huge amount of expertise and experience in helping people to change their behaviour, to lose weight and adopt a healthy lifestyle using psychological techniques. In this podcast, we're going to talk about habits and how we have all had to make significant changes to our lives over the last month. This is an important topic because of how unusual this situation is. We have had to break a huge number of habits overnight, and we may be struggling to adapt to this or start new ones. We will talk about the psychology of creating new habits, the role of autopilot, which helps us to carry out everyday tasks, and why creating new habits can feel difficult and draining. We will also be discussing the importance of daily routines and how a good routine can help to form good habits and make us feel good. Finally, we will be giving advice around which habits to focus on and strategies for either starting new habits or breaking old ones long term. We hope you enjoy. So can you tell me a bit about what a habit is and how we form them?
So habits are sort of repeated patterns of behaviour. So it's something we would do every single day for a long, up to like a few weeks. So generally they say you need to do one sort of behaviour for up to 21 days for it to be a habit. But research has also shown that actually it can take more than 21 days. It can take up to like 3 months. So sort of the general sort of rule around it now is 18 to 66 days to form a habit. And the reason for that is that it's to get the brain wired into that particular behavior that you're trying to sort of learn, and because that way the brain can kind of form these in neural networks. So what the sort of neuropsychology side of things, or neuropsychology sort of shows that you know, the brain starts to remember things the more and more you do it. So it kind of wires it in somewhere in the brain. So when you form a habit, it's more about sort of doing it every single day.
Yeah, I heard a really good analogy that was that if you're walking through a field, say a field with really long grass, and you've got a path that goes straight through the middle, and it's easy because you do it every day, it's beaten down. And if you're trying to form a new habit, it's like trying to beat out a new path. The first time you do it, it's going to be really difficult. But the more times you do it, the more that path will be carved out. And in time, that path will be clear. And so it becomes more automatic. And I thought that was quite a good analogy for starting to create that new habit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also the brain actually, it can feel difficult when you start to kind of create any new habit, because you're actually in effect asking the brain to do something different. So the brain actually, it loves being on autopilot. It actually loves having a routine. It loves knowing what you're doing from the minute you wake up. And you'll notice that when you wake up, the first place people will tend to head is probably the bathroom, brush your teeth, wash your face, etc. Have a shower. So that part of your day is easy peasy. But then it's when you add in the new bits, it has to think. And that's where all the processing and things like, you know, so when you form a habit and it becomes a bit automatic, you're on that sort of autopilot mode, and it's then easy for the brain to know what it's doing. But actually, when you're trying to do a new habit, it's more sort of coming from the sort of conscious process. You're having to think about it a lot more. So that sometimes it makes it a bit harder, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think we often talk about habits or autopilot in the negative sense because we focus on those bad habits or doing things without thinking about them. But actually, autopilot and the formation of habits is an incredible function of the brain. I mean, we can operate a car and still be planning what we're going to have for dinner tonight. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons we form habits, is because it's an amazing energy and time saving device that our brain uses so that we can, focus on other more important things. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you end up doing more than one thing. And that's because we've done it for so, you've been doing it so long, that your brain actually probably expands as well, in the sense that it can manage more than one thing at a time.
Absolutely. Okay, so what about the current situation then? We've had a sudden change overnight. How has that impacted our habits and day-to-day activities?
I think it's absolutely changed everything, like in terms of one minute, most of us are going out of the house. We are, we're actually, we're using that sort of autopilot gear, going out, getting on a bus or getting on a train, going to work, dropping the kids off at school. And suddenly, those, and even those things are like our habits, they're a part of our daily routine, there are external sort of structures that we were used to having for so forever, really. And now suddenly we are in sort of lockdown and we're in the house all the time. And I think in that sense, it's we've had to now form new habits, and that's had some of those habits, like actually. We've had to break the old habits, like going out to work, going to school, dropping the kids off, and actually sort of stay at home and, kind of do things just in the house.
Absolutely. And I think so many of our habits are connected to environmental cues. And one habit can trigger another. So even though maybe our commute, for example, is a bit of a drag and seems like a bit of a waste of time, if you're in the habit of just running through your day or rehearsing some conversations you might have over the course of the day, that being taken away can really impact things like your productivity or just some of those rituals that you might have when you get to work, make yourself a coffee, sit down, and those type of things. I think all of those can really impact the way we work and some of those automatic processes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then, we again, if we were talking about earlier, having to consciously do something versus subconsciously. I think now we are more than ever are probably doing things consciously, because we're trying to, like, manage things within the house that we haven't had to do before. Like, for example, people that are working from home but also having kids and trying to, like, manage that. That is, for some people, that's some completely, I mean, even prime example myself, is completely new habit that even I've had to adjust to, and equally my children. So it's hard. It's felt really, really hard at times. But I think that's because I'm having to think about it a lot, like thinking about the meals in the day, thinking about activities, or really planning work. And I think it's even for those people that are not working at the moment, I've had to stop working. That's a new habit, getting used to that in itself. It's and finding things to do. To keep the mind going, I think again, it's all these are all new habits that we're all trying to sort of learn. and really different to habits that we might have had pre sort of all of this, pre-COVID, because maybe our habits before were maybe more geared towards lifestyle behavior change, or majority of, let's say, our clients' weight, our weight loss, and all of that. But now, although those habits might still be part of our long-term goals, we're now having to look at habits or things to do right here and now, right in the present moment.
Yeah, just to get through the day and survive. And those working consciously rather than on autopilot is a big drain on our emotional, our mental, our physical resources. So I guess people should expect to feel quite tired and drained, maybe more so than usual at the moment.
Yes, definitely. And I think it's knowing that. I think there's lack of probably not a big awareness around those connections between habits, conscious versus subconscious processing. The fact that what you've just said quite rightly, that yes, because we're consciously processing things, it's draining us, it's taking up a lot of our energy. So if by like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon you're feeling like you could do with a nap or you're tired, that's probably quite normal, because your brain is actually, even though you might not have moved around as much, all that thinking, that cognitive processing that you've done in the brain has actually like tired you out a bit there.
Absolutely. And I think it can come out in different ways in different people. I think for me, it comes out more in irritability. I think I get emotionally maybe drained more than physically. And again, I think that's quite normal and something people should expect.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also being kind to ourselves, knowing that this is a really, really sort of unusual and difficult sort of situation that we're all in. And that if things do feel hard and you're feeling tired, you are feeling irritable or just frustrated, it's kind of like knowing that, yeah, this is it's fine to feel like that. And just kind of don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess maybe some people are using this as an opportunity to lay down some new habits or some new healthier habits. What kind of advice can we give at the moment for people trying to lay down these new habits?
I think one thing I would say is sort of rethink your sort of pre sort of lockdown habits or pre-COVID sort of habits, because if those habits are very much related to your external environment, and you might sort of be holding on to them at the moment, and that in effect, if you're doing that, it's probably causing maybe you frustration, and all those sort of negative emotions that might be churning up inside of you, and that kind of can explode. And it's thinking more sort of, well, actually, might maybe some of my long-term goals that I had, or my goals that I did have, and the habits that I was trying to work on, maybe I need to sort of think about, well, how can some of those be achieved within this confined space that I'm in at the moment. So it might just mean sort of stripping them back a bit and just trying to do some of the basics. For example, if some people had, a goal of, I don't know, some people might want to do some join a class somewhere, or a Keep Fit class, or a yoga class outside of their house, it might be thinking about, well, actually, what can I do inside now? In terms of things like exercise or yoga, or even anything related to learning a new activity or a course or something, it's more about thinking, how can I do that? But also thinking, well, just try not to overload your day with so much to achieve. Even if you just do one thing, that's enough.
Yeah, absolutely. So not putting too much pressure on yourself to be perfect. And I think there's a lot on social media at the moment, especially of people showing that they've adjusted so well to this new environment. They're cooking banana bread every day, doing these home workouts, and seem to be thriving. And I don't, you know, that's not the normal. We know that what we portray on social media doesn't tell the full story.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Those type of messages are causing you even more frustrations and anxiety. I would steer clear and just focus on, you know, what you can sort of control within this space that we're in. Because otherwise it's just going to bring you down. It's not going to make you feel good. And it's focusing on things that do make you feel good. I would say keep it simple. Keep it easy as much as possible within the resources that you've got at the moment.
Yeah. And I think for me, one of the strategies I use when looking at habits, I think sometimes people can focus on the wrong habit in a way. They're looking at the goal rather than the habit. So it might be something like if someone wants to become more physically active, they decide they want to lay down a habit that is doing exercise every morning or every afternoon, or as soon as they finish work, they're going to go to the gym, and they want to get into that habit. And they keep failing. And each day, you know, the end of the day comes and they're too tired and they go home and they start beating themselves up about this. Whereas actually, if you kind of look at it through a wider lens, they're not getting up very early in the morning, so they're in a rush and they're tired and they're on the back foot in the morning, and it has a knock-on effect through the day. So maybe their habit should be getting up a bit earlier. Or maybe even if we look at even through a wider lens, are they going to bed every night and scrolling through social media for an hour, so they're not getting a good night's sleep? And I've had this with quite a few people where, so actually the habit they want to change is that habit of scrolling through social media for 1 to 2 hours every night before they go to bed. So once they break that habit, they're getting a better night's sleep, they're getting up earlier in the morning, they're feeling less tired and more in control, and then they're able to start laying down some of those physical activity routines. So I think it's really important that you're not going to just magically form a behaviour. You've got to look at the background to the how.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and you're absolutely right, I think. It's sometimes the behaviour that comes before that can have an effect on actually how, what you've then managed to, you know, achieve is in terms of moving towards that goal that you've set. And we don't often look at that. I don't think we spend enough time looking at, you know, why. What I've always heard is, I know what I've got to do, but I don't know why, I just can't do it. And I've heard this, and you probably have, time and time again. And we've probably ourselves have said it as well. I think it's a really good idea. And I think this is the time as well, maybe using this time to kind of work these things out and to, you know, get a pen and paper, note it down and try to like think about it. You know, sometimes when you scribble things and you try to work it out, it can start to sort of make those connections.
Absolutely. No, I'm a big fan of writing things down, analysing your habits, because as you said earlier, we do them on autopilot, we do them subconsciously. So there might be things we're not even really aware that we're doing that are interfering with our goals. And I think some of those smaller things, we like to do things if we're going to get a reward afterwards. That's how we're wired to do things. That's how we're conditioned to perform certain behaviours. And some of those smaller habits, we won't get an immediate reward. So, you know, not going on social media before we go to bed, we're not immediately going to feel better. But looking at the knock-on effect, that long-term outcomes of having that better night's sleep every day, getting up half an hour early every day, over the course of the weeks and the months, that's when you're going to reap the benefits of those types of changes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much out there on creating habits around what you've just said, like morning routine. There's a sort of a big movement out there around how important not only routines are, but also a morning routine, like for what you just said, getting up that extra half an hour early, you know, don't hit the snooze button. Literally, if you just woke up, start moving, start your day. And that, it sounds easy, but actually it's not. So again, it's starting small and then slowly building it up. And I think whilst you're on that topic, I think of routines and habits especially, but I think at the moment having a routine is probably really important as well, because that's going to provide you that kind of sense of achievement of the day. If you've planned your day in a way from morning, doesn't have to include so much, but just to know, you know, when you're doing certain things throughout your day, it's going to provide that sort of fulfillment. And there's like a bit of a, you know, in sort of CBT land, there is that sort of acronym ACE around sort of behavioral activation. And what we mean by that is actually doing things, spending time doing things that are meaningful to you. And there's the acronym ACE that I've come across recently by one of the sort of psychotherapists, Andrew Beck, that what it stands for is achievement, closeness, enjoyment. And it's quite a simple acronym, because it's basically saying that plan a structure to your day that includes just these three things: something you've achieved, something you've done that provides you that closeness, and also that enjoyment. So it could be really simple, like you've done a load of washing, you've put it away, that's an achievement. You've spent time talking to somebody on the phone or done some social interaction via like Skype or Zoom. That's a bit of closeness. And then something you enjoy, you might go for a half an hour walk. But having that kind of structure can actually be really good for your mood, but also, you know, good for your well-being.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that they're all really important things. And I think we can sometimes pair, I like to pair things that I don't like doing so much with something that I do like doing to create that reinforcement. So if it's doing some exercise that I know I need to do for physio, but I don't really enjoy that much, and then after that I get to go for my outdoor walk each day, so it's paired together. So I start associating the thing that I don't like with the thing I do like, and it becomes less challenging, less difficult.
Yeah. And also, like, for example, I don't like folding the washing, putting it away, but in a way it's an achievement because I've done it and it had to be done. But what I do enjoy is doing a little bit of yoga or going for a walk. So yeah, you're right. I think it's so important that we do that balance. Otherwise, we're just not going to feel great, because you'll feel like you're just focusing on the things that you don't enjoy, or even though you have to do them.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think when we're laying down new habits, like you rightly said, I think analysing our current habits is a really, really good idea. As I said, choosing the right habit that we want to focus on. And I think it's another thing to add therein is maybe looking at our wider goals or core values, if we're looking at it through that lens, and matching our habits up to, or our goals up to them, rather than looking at things that we feel like we should be doing. So maybe looking at our core values, where do we actually want to be, who do we want to be, and what habits does our best self have, and starting to lay down those rather than just some arbitrary habits that we might have seen shared on the internet. And I think with our habits, it's sort of similar to the SMART goals, actually making some firm plans about how, the where, and the what is really important. So, if you take something quite simple, like if you clean your teeth every day, but you want to start flossing every day as well, deciding I'm going to floss, I'm going to do it in the evening, in the bathroom, right after I clean my teeth, rather than just sort of buying some floss, putting it in the bathroom cupboard and hoping that somehow you'll magically start using it, is really important. And as well with that example I just gave, if you've got some habits that you do every single day anyway, ones that are set in stone, things like cleaning your teeth, things like your morning coffee. I mean, for me, that is set in stone. I am never not going to have my morning coffee. So if I want to add in a new habit into my morning routine, pairing it with an already established habit's a really good strategy to start doing something new. So if I want to, I don't know, write my to-do list every morning. If I say I'm going to write my to-do list every morning whilst I drink my coffee, I'm much more likely to do that because it's paired with an already established habit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a really good way of doing it. And in effect, what you're trying to do is you're making it easy. You're making it easy to form that habit. And I think that is one thing that we need to remember is that again, it's trying to make it simple. It's trying to make it less taxing in the sense that if we make it too difficult, then we're not going to do it. We're just probably going to put it off or say, well, we'll do it tomorrow. But yeah, if you pair it up with something, or even if you kept your notepad by your kettle, and while the kettle's boiling, that off you go, you've already, within that minute of your water being boiled, you might have already noted down a few things and then you just carry on. And I think also to add to what you've said about pairing is planning. It's I said to somebody once, who really wanted to, it was really struggling because they've, like you said, they had a goal, they had a SMART goal, really good SMART goal, and they were just struggling to achieve it. And the goal was to do just that sort of 10 minutes of Pilates. So they get up in the morning, drop the son to school, come home, and it just wasn't happening. So then we sat down and thought, well, how can we make, let's look at this. And like you just said earlier, let's strip it back. Let's look at what it is. So then we decided, well, how about adding to this SMART goal and actually saying, well, the night before, I'm actually going to lay my Pilates mat out in my kitchen or wherever it is you're going to do it in your bedroom, because it's there. And therefore, when you walk through the door after the school run, that mat is there. And it's not only going to remind you, but it's also going to sort of motivate you to do it because it's easy. All you have to do now is jump onto that mat.
Exactly. We will always take the path of least resistance. We want things easy and simple. So, yeah, absolutely. And we can use our environment, like you've said, to our advantage, laying things out so they're easy. But on the flip side of that, we've talked about starting habits. If there's habits we want to break, from the other angle, making things difficult, creating some friction between us and the habit is also another way of doing things. So I've obviously got a bee in my bonnet about social media today because I keep coming back to it. But I think in the current climate, social media can be a big hindrance. It can be a good support as well. But so if you're trying to break a habit, like I was saying earlier about looking at social media at night, maybe you can put your phone in another room so it charges in a different room overnight. Get yourself an old-fashioned alarm clock rather than relying on your phone, and it just creates that friction between it. You'll still reach for your phone, but it won't be there. So to actually look at it, you'd have to get up, go to another room, pick it up, and bring it back, which is just often just enough friction, just enough of a barrier that it will stop us doing those things. So yeah, you can use the environment to help make things easy for new habits or make things difficult to try and break old habits as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. If you want to break a habit, I think also remembering that you can actually physically sort of feel the sensations in your stomach, and you start to feel a bit like, those withdrawal symptoms of like your brain is suddenly confused, like, hang on a minute, I'm used to doing this and now it's not there. And then you start to churn up inside and sort of maybe start to feel a bit uncomfortable is the word I think that's I'm looking for. And that's normal because again, you're before when we were talking about forming habits, we are rewiring. If you imagine wires being wired together, but now you're kind of undoing that a bit. You're trying to untangle that habit, break it, and that can actually sometimes feel a bit painful, but it's part of the process sometimes is that, after a few days or a week, you'll start to get used to it. That habit you're trying to break, it'll start to get easier. You might not miss it as much, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I think actually experiencing that discomfort where you feel it, and definitely I'm with you there. You can feel it in your stomach.
Oh,
It might
yeah.
be just that, that feeling that something's not right. And actually taking a moment and rather than distracting yourself, actually being mindfully aware of what that feels like is quite important. It can show you sort of as time goes on how it might lessen and lessen, but also to prove to yourself you can live through it. I think some habits are so powerful that in the moment it feels like you can't sit with that discomfort, that it's overwhelming. But actually, if you do sort of, breathe, feel it, experience it can make it a lot more manageable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're just the whole what you've just said about breathe it, feel it, it's the probably a good way of doing that rather than finding something maybe else to do that then becomes a habit that you didn't really want to form.
Yes.
But you formed it because that's helped to pass that time or the discomfort that you're feeling. I mean, again, it's realizing what is the habit that what is it that I'm trying to do here. I think what most people are trying to do is pass time, is to pass that urge and those negative feelings. But it is being mindful of actually, well, what am I replacing this with? And if keeping it simple again, like focusing on your breath perhaps, or just going outside bare feet on the grass, it's a really good way of just connecting, grounding, and your feet again. I mean, I'm talking about feet now, but your feet carry a lot of nerves and a lot of connections to the brain and the body. And just by placing your feet on grass, I've been told, and I've tried actually myself, it's quite relaxing. It's it really you can feel it. You can just feel it. And it's at the moment with the weather and being out in the, if you have got a patch of grass any out in the front of your house or in the back, just step on it and just it just helps to calm, I think, just gives you that feeling of stillness as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Some great advice. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of things we can do to try and, like we said, either break habits that aren't serving us well or create some new ones, especially in this time. I think the other thing just to touch on there is, I think sometimes the way we think about habits and the thoughts we have attached to new habits, if we can try and reframe them, it can really help as well. I'm thinking particularly, I thinking of sometimes we feel like with exercise, for example, that we have to do something. And I think the current climate's actually has really emphasized how some people force themselves to walk because they know it's good for them. So they force themselves to walk. A lot of my clients will say they set an alarm, they make themselves go out, they use their Fitbit to make sure they've done enough steps, and it feels like a chore. Whereas now, where we're being kept inside, going out and having a walk feels like a treat. It feels like something good and nice to do for ourselves. And I know it's been forced upon us, but that reframing of the way we think about the same thing, something that used to be a chore, and now with it, rather than thinking I have to go out for a walk, we're thinking I get to go out for a walk. And I think that's really interesting, the way the same activity has really changed in the way we think about it for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the number of people, like when I'm out for a walk, I guess obviously a lot of we're all at home, so but yeah, I've seen faces that I've not seen before. And it's really quite nice, that people are you taking this opportunity and using that sort of out the house once a day to do some exercise and walking. But yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's kind of like, it's a bit of sort of freedom in a way, isn't it, to be able to do that at the moment. But equally, it is creating new habits for people, leaving the house half an hour a day and going for a walk, walking around. My neighbor yesterday was like, oh, I've never been down this bit of bumped into her while I was walking, but she'd never been down this pathway before. And it's like, it's people are sort of being able to experience things or around their environment that they've probably not experienced before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we may be doing things a bit more mindfully as well, where, well, certainly for myself, I try and walk every day. But before this, I'd usually listen to a podcast while I did it, trying to fill that time, make it as efficient as possible. Whereas now I'm walking and looking at the ducks and the sunshine and the trees like a toddler, which is nice. But I think that shows that how we think about things, how we frame our thoughts, and can really make a difference in how likely we are to perform a behaviour.
Absolutely. And I think also it shows actually how strong we are as humans, that we are, even though this feels difficult, it is difficult, we're still trying to, find ways of doing things that we may not have done before, like you just said, going out for a walk or actually rethinking exercise and walking and things. So I think we sometimes don't give ourselves enough credit. Again, going back to social media and all the sort of like things around what's this all going to teach us and things. Well, actually, it's not, that's not, I think the important thing is just got sort of focusing on what we were saying before, having just looking after yourselves, meeting your sort of basic needs, but also, yeah, going out there and getting some air if you can and a little bit of exercise. It's just keeping it simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, is there anything else you want to add about habits, especially related to our current situation?
I guess it's just summarizing what we've kind of said that habit, I think habits, I mean, for me, I've tried to think about, reflect on the literature, and obviously you and I know from sort of the health psychology world of behavior change and habits that what we are doing now probably is it's completely opposite to what the literature says, the evidence base says, in terms of how to form a habit, because we've had to start to form new habits overnight. And again, going back to what I was saying about us as humans and how resilient and how strong we actually are, it just shows that we can do it even though it's difficult. We are doing it. But just accepting that, it can feel hard, you can feel tired, but it's again keeping it simple, having a good routine, What you were saying before earlier around sleep and well-being, just looking after yourself, eating well, just those simple sort of human needs that we have. In terms of drink, eat, sleep, and safety.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've got to take care of our most basic needs at the moment when there's so much uncertainty outside. So I'd just echo that. I think keeping it simple, and if you are looking to lay down some new habits, it can be really, really beneficial to you. They can sort of serve as an anchor, as a routine to help you manage your emotions. But yeah, keeping it simple and focusing on some really basic ones, not necessarily looking for an immediate outcome. We are very focused on having that immediate reward, that immediate outcome, but trying to think more in the long term. How is this going to benefit me over the next few weeks, months, and taking it from there, really. Taking advantage of the environment, how you restructure your house, your rooms, to make things easier or make things more difficult. Yeah, really important.
So, to end the podcast, we'd like to recap on some of our important take-home messages. Firstly, changing habits is not easy, and research shows that it can take up to 3 months to form a habit. So, if you're finding it difficult to adjust to a new routine or make new habits at the moment, then you're not alone and this is normal. Try to create a routine to help you structure your day, which includes a combination of achievement, closeness, and enjoyment, as this will help you to achieve your goals and feel good. If you want to change your habits, it's a good idea to examine your current ones first. This can help you decide where to focus your attention and also give you something to anchor new habits around. Lastly, don't expect too much from yourself all at one time. Changing a single habit is not likely to lead to overnight success, but they will all add up to improvements long term, so stick with it. Thank you very much for joining us, and remember to look out for the new episode and check out more of our digital content. If you want more information or support from us, go to our website, which is www.more-life.co.uk. We look forward to speaking to you soon.